Hello everyone, thank you for coming. I didn't expect so many people to be here, but...
I can leave.
Yes, please. So, we start with the me slide, as usual. So, I'm Damien Krotkin. My nickname is Dams. I'm from Paris, so I'm a member of Paris.pm. And I do participate to the French Monger stuff. And I actually did quite a few stuff, like organizing technical meetings and so on, up to the point where I was elected vice president. And then I did nothing anymore. And I'm also a Perl Dancer developer. That's why I'm here, basically. I have only 11 modules on CPAN, so that's pretty weak. But I wrote a book in French, which is called Modern Perl, which means Modern Perl. I think, something like that. Please go buy it so I get richer. So that's about it. I'm here. I was thinking, Yapsi, I should just go and do a talk about Dancer because, I know a little bit about it. And the thing is that I'm sure you've heard about it. It's simple, it's powerful, it's flexible. So Perl Dancer, the web framework, who doesn't know anything about Dancer in this room? Quite a few, okay. And maybe this talk is not entirely for you, I don't know. No, I think it is. So this talk is just not a hello world. Because there are so many hello world about there are so many talks about Dancer, it's cool. Okay, here is I've heard that in Yapsi NA there were one talk. The entire talk was about how to install Perl up to the point where Dancer is installed. So talk about a hello world talk. And there are a few talks about how to get started, how to display something and. I really wanted to not do that, but just talk about one experience I had at work, and so that you see what I used and the technology I used. And also, it's interesting because it's an unusual web application, which uses a technology that you're not going to use to build a blog or something like that. And the goal is to show you how easy and flexible Dancer is, or might be. So let's start with the background. So where does this all come from? It's a nice animation. So at my company, fully inject our dependencies slowly and be able to run all our test suite and make sure that all our product works and then inject it in the mirror. So that's all it is about. We have command interface to inject module in our local mirror, and we actually wanted a web interface to do that. So it's very simple. Let's see the process. So the process in injecting module in the mirror. So what we have is a mirror which were created with mini CPAN and managed by CPAN mini. And injecting a module in the local mirror is just about calling inject. And you only specify the mirror's config file and it works great. So what we can see is that it's single-threaded. What I mean is that either you inject a module in the local mirror or you don't. You know, it's not like a web application with thousands of users trying to do stuff. So it's very single job oriented. And we do it one mirror at a time. I'm only going to show with one mirror, but we actually have more than one mirror. And one injection at a time, and only one command to perform. So that means that we have actually no user. There won't be any difference between one user and another using the web application to inject in the local mirror. Could be some authentication or privileges, but there is no fundamental concept of user in the web app. There is no database. as well. I mean, all the data is either the local CPAN mirror content or the config file, but there is no such thing as a database. There is no session as well. It's really, the web application is really a mirror of what's happening when injecting the module. But we have a forking process, which, because of course we are going to build the web interface with a button, which would be injecting the mirror. And when you click on this button, we will fire somehow a process which we'll call mini CPAN inject, and which will do the job, and that will be a backroom process. So now the web interface. Everything is on a single page. Basically, we need an input to input the string and check it. And we, what I added in the background process is a way to check if the string is actually a CPAN module or if it's nothing, and check if there is a newer version compared to the one we have in our local mirror. If that's the case, then you can confirm the injection, or you can cancel. So basically, it's a three-status interface, where first of all, you schedule something, and then if that's OK, and if you can double-check the dependencies injection, if that's OK, then you can confirm the injection in the mirror. And that produces logs, and we want to see the log on the interface. So that's the wireframe of the web interface. So basically, a status, input text, three buttons to schedule, confirm, or cancel, and here the logs of what's happening. And if you close your browser, you come back, it should continue to, and if an injection is occurring, it should continue to show you what's going on, what the log are doing, and so on. So what are the technologies I decided to use? Basically, we need, what I wanted is that, I want instantaneous update of the logs. So I don't need to reload or do stuff like that. So to do that, I use the WebSockets. Also, I want every user to see the same thing, because there is only one thing happening at one point in time, which is the injection in the mirror. So I don't want two people connecting to web interface to see two different things. And I want, we will need information about the module. So I use, I don't remember what I used to get all the information about the local mirror, but when you input a string, I check on the CPAN using Meta CPAN API that there is actually a new version and that it's a legit module name. And we will choose even programming to be able to run the injection process in the background, and also so that there is only one central state of the web application. So if you don't know what Dancer is, it's a web framework. So I tried to do it in one sentence, but it's not easy. Dancer allows you to easily create web applications where you can associate HTTP routes to code, which usually end up sending back data via a template engine, right? Okay, so basically, what we do is we start creating a new application with Dancer minus A in the name of our application, and we have to choose a templating system. How it works is, so that's the default, but you can work around that. Basically, it comes with a concept of a layout, which will be the static stuff on all your web pages. And in this layout, there is the content tag here, placeholders, and then you have template views, which will replace the content in your layout. Let's talk about WebSockets. It's a bi-directional web communication standard, which has some issues for now, security issues and stuff like that. So it's implemented in Chrome, but potentially with a security issue. Firefox has their own implementation, but eventually it's going to be the standard, I guess, for two-direction web communication. So the server can push to the client. We will use a Dancer plugin WebSocket, which uses WebHP, which is the implementation of WebSocket and also Comet, which is another standard, using any event. So that's what WebHP uses. And any event is an event programming module. So we will need to use a web server which is built up upon any event, and that's called Twiggy. So basically, we know that we will have to run this web application using Twiggy. Yeah, any event, there is a very good talk about, I mean very good, I don't know, but there is a talk which is happening tomorrow, done by Sawyer X, about event programming. It will be 40 minutes. It will be probably great. The issue is that it's at the same time of one of another talk I'm doing tomorrow, so you have to choose. Go to mine, obviously. But anyway, any event brings back the concept of single-threaded cooperative multitasking, the stuff that we all liked in Windows 3.1, I think. But it's okay if you are doing all the job in your program. So it actually works when you are master of all what's running into this single-thread cooperative multitasking. You have tasks, events, and basically a main loop, which is not blocking, waiting for events and deciding what to do depending on which events it receives, and so on. So Twiggy is an event, an any event-based web server. We're going to use that. So here is a nice diagram. So basically, we have our server, web server process here, server side. At some point, when the user decides to inject something into our local CPAN mirror, it will fire this fork process, but gathering all the standard outputs. Okay, using any event, it's very easy to do. And then this standard output is sent to the client using WebSocket. And the client with JavaScript will just update the logs here in frame. And it will also update the status, because basically this process, it knows when it starts and when it finishes, and also when it fails. And so in the I made this process output in the standard output special lines that are detected here and here to change the status of what's happening. Show me the interface. So that's the interface. It's ugly, but it kind of works. So here we have the status, idle. We have the input text here. Okay, in my version, I can choose between two different mirrors. And then the three button. You input your text, you click on schedule, and then it will look, it takes some time, but it looks like at the local mirror and compares it with Meta's CPAN using the API and tells you if that's a legit module, what are the dependencies, and so on. If you like what you see, you click on confirm. Otherwise, you click on cancel. Yeah, that's another snapshot, blah, blah, blah. I've entered autodie. And it displayed a lot of stuff. And if you agree, just click on confirm. So let's, OK, I have 5 minutes to show you the code. So that's going to be, yeah. Anyway, you start with Dancer minus A, my awesome application. And then it will create it for you, but that's basically what it is. It will create a .pl file, which uses Dancer, use a Perl module, and then Dance. That's very easy. We don't touch the config.yaml that comes with the default Dancer application, except for the template engine, which switch it to template toolkit. So that's in config.yaml. And here is the layout, where I have actually stripped it down to nothing, except loading jQuery and displaying the content of the template views. How you launch that? You launch it with Twiggy using Plackup, giving your .pl and the port number. Now, let's have a look at the easy stuff. So that's the index.tt, so that is the main view, basically the page where you will arrive when you load the application. Views/index.tt, we have a status there, and that's the placeholders that will receive the status from the server. Also, it has an ID so that it can be updated by JavaScript. Then we have a form, of course, with the three input types, okay, the text and the three button. Right, and the text is module name, and then we have the buttons called schedule, confirm, and cancel. Nothing fancy except that here the page can actually receive a module name if it has already been filled in and you've reloaded the page. And then we have the logs. It's a div, you know, it's with a fancy CSS. And here it will receive the static log string. Then we need some JavaScript. Some JavaScript first to set up the WebSocket. So WebSocket, you do it like that. At least it works in Chrome. So you create the WebSocket object. You need to give it the host, the server address, the port, and that's because we are using HP to connect. So somehow we need to retrieve the server address and the port. And the JavaScript cannot invent that, so it will receive it from the server via the template functions, placeholders, sorry. And here we have the two methods. One is triggered when we receive something from the WebSocket, which is very simple. We receive data. We parse it because we receive JSON data. And if there is actual data, we append it to injection log span, okay? So that's very easy to do. And that's the other communication method to send stuff to the server. Okay, there is something to it. This is, instead of just appending the data into the log, here we have some regex to change that the status changed, okay? That the forked process sent the status changed. And here we have the Perl module, so there is only one module, one file. It's called MyMirrorInjector. So we use Denser, Flash Message plugin, and the WebSocket, and any event util. That's to be able to run the process in background. And what we have here are variables, which are global, actually. But that's okay, because we're running with Twiggy, and so based on any event, so there is only one thread. So there is only one status, and one log, and one module name at a given point in time. So that's why we can actually use these variables here.
1 minute left.
Thank you. And then here we have a very simple get/root, which displays the index template, so what we have seen before, passing by the server address and port. That's the important thing. And when we post something, we check if it was the confirm, schedule, or cancel button. And depending on that, what we do is we launch the command, okay, to inject into our mirror, either with dry run if we are scheduling, or without dry run, so I've not repeated, but that's the same line, if we really want to inject into the mirror. And if you cancel, then we reset the status back to zero. And yeah, sorry. Yeah, and that's the launch command. So when the guy clicked on confirm, we use the run command from any event. So we are doing that. And we are saying that we are gathering all the output content. And here we are sending it with wsend on the server side to the client. There were a video I did, but I don't think I have time to show it. It's 2 minutes. Sorry.